This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Send a message loud and clear. Looking back, we've touched on several days. Wow. Future past, they disappear.
1041 in St. Louis, 1042. In St. Louis. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Brian Hoffman, Darren Atkins, and now introducing Jim Huer as Frank Cusimano had to leave the broadcast setup.
Line change.
For television duties. KSDK, obviously, with the big pregame show. He's going to go in the locker room and ask the Blues why they give up 7 goals on Saturday night. So while he's there, we will keep things going here. Jim, I'm very curious. You are very much an astute hockey mind. You followed the Blues for you have followed the Blues for a long time.
I have.
If you were to say encapsulate it and minimize it into 3 of the biggest issues coming out of Game 3, what would those be?
I'll start this way. I was not overly confident going into the game, and people are going to go, "Oh, why is it?" For 2 simple reasons. Robert Thomas and Oscar Sundquist are both out of the lineup. You can even also throw in Vince Dunn was already out of the lineup. But you are missing 2 guys that are going to be in your lineup on a nightly basis throughout the Stanley Cup playoff run. It's hard to replace 2 guys who play. And keep in mind, this is a team that when they're playing well, they're rolling 4 lines. Because they were missing both of those guys at the same time, even though Sanford assisted on one of the goals, I still wasn't overly confident the Blues are going to be able to overcome and continue their 5-on-5 dominance. Then you make it even more complicated by giving up 4 power play goals in a night. Look, Boston's good on the power play. There's no doubt about that. You have to stay out of the penalty box. You can't continually try and win hockey games when you're giving the other team 5 power plays. But you also, at this point, if you're a Stanley Cup final team, you can't give up 4 power play goals. That's inexcusable, period. Yeah, they might get 1. On a good night, they might get 2. But giving up 4 is atrocious. And that, and Berube even said this after the game. He says, well, we got to kill the penalties better. And he's 100% right. I get that. Blues fans aren't excited by the way the game's being called in these finals. And you go, are they really penalties? Are the Blues, kind of getting screwed a little bit? And I get that. People are going to say that. But the reality is you can't give up 4 power play goals and be a Stanley Cup final team. You just can't. You got to be better than
and
that.
And you can't have your cake and eat it, too. And I love how the Blues play. Physical, just, head down type of hockey, huge forechecks. But you're going to be able, when you play like that, you're going to get a lot of those 50-50 calls against you because, you're hitting guys into the board so much, which enhances the chance of you getting a boarding call or a cross check or something like that. And we're not talking, because Berube said most of the penalties are, between the whistle. It's not David Perron getting physical with Rask. Those are minute things that have happened just once. Most of the penalties are on the ice between the whistle. And the main thing is, what got them there being extremely physical. But, it's just this set of refs is calling it a little bit differently than what I would, especially for a Stanley Cup final. But most of them are 50-50 calls, and sometimes you're not going to get, the right side of it. And so I'm not saying change their play. They're certainly, this is how they got there, so you continue that. But you can't complain about getting a lot of calls when you put yourself in those situations, positive or negative.
Yeah, there's a discipline rule. I mean, look, you're going to get high sticks. For me, I wish they would call it 1. If there's a delay of game, a guy flips it over the wall, that's black and white. If there's a high stick and a guy gets cut, that's black and white. For the rest of it, I just assume they would let teams play. And there are times when they do that, and I enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs much better. After the whistle stuff, you just got to be a little smarter than, getting the extra shove in. And that's how it's been. That's how the Stanley Cup playoffs have been played since the beginning of time. And they just got to be better and be disciplined, stay out of the penalty box, because when it's 5-on-5, there is nobody in the league right now that can say they've been better than the St. Louis Blues in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's been how this team wins. They roll their 4 lines. That's why when we hear about the lineup where you're going to get Sunquist back in the lineup tonight. Sanford's going to get another shot at it. He deserves another shot, by the way. He played, and he was better than he played in the Winnipeg series. So you roll the lines, you get in, you throw the puck in behind the goal line, get it behind their defense, you beat them up, and you welcome in Vince Dunn and his ability to make plays and move the puck out of his own zone. I like the possibilities in Game 4, but I still say I wasn't overly excited about the possibilities in Game 3. One other thing I'll take out of that, but you asked your question, Brian. The Blues early on came, and they went at Tuukka Rask. They peppered him. Tuukka Rask was very good. One of the things with Tuukka Rask, and we found this out also through the first three rounds for the St. Louis Blues, got to shoot high. Shooting down low, Tuukka Rask is very good. It's going to be very tough to beat him down low. You have to beat him from the shoulders up, and it's a left side or the right side. You have a better chance. And go back and look at some of the goals that were scored against Tuukka Rask in the first two games. Most of them were basically from the chest on up, left side or right side, or you're going to get those rebounds and get pucks in front of the net and just get a garbage goal, so to speak. But those are the things I took from it.
And having Vince Dunn back, which is crazy to think at the beginning of the year, how excited you'd be to have Vince Dunn back in your lineup. But what he does and how you're going to be able to get those pucks in net against Tuukka Rask is, you know, the redirects, having Parayko, Petrangelo, and now Vince Dunn. Vince Dunn is fantastic at getting the puck onto, you know, his teammate's stick, regardless if it's luck or not. He has that capability. And not saying, you know, Gunnarsson or his replacement didn't, per se. Gunnarsson had a huge OT goal, obviously, in Game 2. But you just look at what Vince Dunn brings to the table and how desperately they need that kind of offense from their defenseman, seeing as Robert Thomas is out. And not saying Fabry is a shell of himself, but he's not really that offensive threat that he was 2-3 years ago. And so you don't have a lot of depth as far as scoring to be able to get a guy like Vince Dunn, who's shown that he's capable of scoring from the blue line. It's a fantastic addition.
This hockey team was either one or two in scoring from their defensemen during the regular season.
Yep.
And there's a reason why. They thrive later in the year. Those guys were putting up points. Yes, everything else went up front the way it's supposed to with the five-on-five play. But you get that much talent and that much threat from the outside. I mean, who scored that overtime goal? It was Gunnarsson. It was from the point. It was an unbelievable shot. It was his second one, by the way, because he hit the post at the end of regulation. So, I mean, I like things better for Game 4 than I did at Game 3 right now.
And Tarasenko, sorry, Brian, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh,
and Tarasenko
fine.
Said it best in the – I guess they had interviews yesterday, and he was at the podium, and he said, this team, you're not going to have those little dangle cute goals, you know, that you did get in the previous series. Their defensemen and their forwards play fantastic. Patrice Bergeron is one of the best two-way players in the National Hockey League. People who didn't know him now realize how good he is. So you're not with Chara there, you're not going to have those okey-doke, you know, forehand, backhand, you know, little tic-tac passes. You're going to have to put pucks on net. You're going to have to, you know, your unit out there on the ice has to be, you know, on the same page. It can't just be, you know, you're not going to get open guys in front of the net. And I think with Vince Dunn, you really wish you had Robert Thomas because he was kind of the fuel that lit the fire for a couple series. So, you know, you got to look beyond that, but I find Binnington going to have a huge – I mean, look at his record after losses. It's insane. I think 12-2 with, you know, 1.9 goals. I mean, it's just insane. So I think we're obviously going to see a less embarrassing performance than we did in Game 3 for sure.
I do want to mention before we move further into our Stanley Cup coverage, we have a slight programming change this afternoon on the station. The Cam Jansen Show will be airing today on 590 The Fan live from 1 to 2 p.m. It'll re-air again – to get you ready for Game 4 from 6 to 7 p.m. The Hard Line truncated to 1 hour from 2 to 3 p.m. with John Hadley and Bob Ramsey, but Hannah Ray Yates and Cam Jansen will be live from 1 to 2 and again from 6 to 7. They'll replay the hour. Get you ready for Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. Jim, I'm curious for your thoughts on the play of Binnington. Was polled for the first time this postseason on Saturday night. Was it... did he play a bad game, or is this more the fault of the players around
him? He hasn't been as sharp throughout this series as he has been through the previous three. You know, there's a couple goals. I wish the five hole or something like that. But every guy, and I've said this, we just haven't seen it from him yet. Every player or goalie who goes this long in a playoff run has a couple where you go, ugh. Now, unfortunately, they came in the final. The reality is every guy is going to go through a stretch. I mean, he's in a stretch of, where are we at now, 24, 25 games played?
It feels like this is lasting forever.
So it does. It does.
The Winnipeg series feels like it was a year ago.
Think about it this way. There are not many times, unless you were Brody or Grant Fuhr, in the regular season where a goalie will play 25 straight games without, you know, one, getting a day off, and two, just having a night where you go, he just didn't have it. We probably should have rested him. But you don't have that luxury in the Stanley Cup Finals. And also throwing in the fact that with the exception of, I think, one day or one set of games in the first round, every game has been every other day. So, you're going, go. You don't have time. So I expect him to be much better. He wasn't nearly as good, and he hasn't been as dominant as we have seen, but part of that is you're playing against the best team on the other side from the East. And, again, if guys aren't playing in front of you on the power play and killing penalties, you're going to get exposed a little bit. I think he'll come back strong tonight. I think he'll be fine. There's nothing that we have seen in this run that he has had, which has been tremendous, where you go, oh, he looks really rattled. He looks like he's not sure. I mean, you can usually tell in the guy's facial expression and his eyes and his body language that he's lost. You don't see Binnington lost. You just say, he got it handed to him. He'll be ready tonight when the Blues take on the Bruins.
And it's an unfortunate question to ask. Is there a leash tonight for Binnington?
You know, that is a great question to ask.
That counts. That counts.
It is a great question. And here's the part of that is,
one second,
I don't know. There you go. I don't know what that leash is.
Well, if the leash in four goals, you probably already lost.
Well, yes. But here's the thing. I don't think they're going to lose because Binnington lets in bad goals. I think they'll lose because they get beat like they did the other night, where you go, the guys up front weren't playing well. I don't see that happening. And as a coach, you're going, well, that's the last thing I'm thinking about. But if you're Craig Berube, you are going to go, okay, what happens? We're down 2-0 in the first period. What are you going to do to try and jumpstart things? Because you can't let it spiral and get out of control and be a 3-0 lead. Because then it's like, oh, no. I mean, a 2-goal lead you can still come back from. And then I guess you also have to say, when you get to that point, Brian, evaluate, okay, what were the goals that were scored? Were they really soft goals? Were they deflections that went in? I mean, those are the things you have to ask in making that judgment call. But at this point, for me, this is the first time I really felt this way about this team. This is a must-win game for this franchise. You can't expect yourself to try and win two on the road in Boston, even though they play well on the road. It's a little unrealistic. You have to have this game tonight. And if you're the Blues, you have to play one, your best disciplined game, but you also have to come out with your absolute best effort and take care of business at home, because then you're even. It's a best 2 out of 3, and you take your chances. But this is the must game, and almost everybody, really, if you're Coach Berube, is on a short leash. Let's say somebody's not producing on a certain line. You might go, okay, you're getting moved, or you're getting somebody else is going to get double shifted. You're almost at that point with this game tonight.
As Frank mentioned, no team in NHL history in the Stanley Cup Final has come back from a 3-1 series deficit. So the Blues will be almost certainly facing historical odds against them, of which have never been overcome. From Boston's side of things, does this just keep things going the way they've been going?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, they had it handed to them in their arena in Game 2 late in that contest. I mentioned something last week where I said, well, the Blues haven't had too many times where they just had to come out and give out their best 100% effort. They did that for Game 2. Boston, on the other hand, they knew they had to get one game here. They took care of business. They came out. They got some help from the Blues by allowing them to get on the power play a couple times, and they took care of business. They are a really good team. And when they bring their A game, guess what? If you're not bringing your A game on the flip side to St. Louis Blues and you're giving them power play chances, they're going to beat you. And that's exactly what they did. What happens tonight? Are they going to be super hungry to get a Game 3? Or do the Blues, use what they do and put in their dominance. I'm not really sure what Boston will bring tonight, but they took care of what they need. They can go home. They can lose tonight, and it doesn't matter how bad they lose. They lose. They go, you know what? We did what we wanted. We're even. We still have home ice. And if you're Boston, you still think you have a chance to win this thing, and you're probably thinking you're going to win this game, even if you lose tonight.
What worries me about hockey, especially in the postseason, unlike any other sport, is you can absolutely dominate a game, but one player, a goalie, can keep that opposing team in it, and if not, win it. You look at Game 7 against Dallas. Now, we ended up winning that game, obviously, but realistically, in a regular season, we would probably pepper in 8 or 9 goals. I mean, hell, you probably would have put in 3 or 4 in the third period alone, but you saw how Bishop kept that team in that game. I just fear, regardless of how well you know it's going to be a complete 180-degree as far as how the offense is going to play, more discipline. You know you're going to see that tonight. The issue is, can you pepper him into Tuukka Rask? Because right now, you know, you can preach it all you want. Bennington's had a fantastic, you know, second half of the year, you know, his whole rookie season. But Tuukka Rask is on another planet right now, better than what Ben Bishop was coming in, almost similar to what Jordan Bennington has been. It's going to be tough. I see Tarasenko lighting the lamp a couple times. The problem is, like, you can outplay a team and still have Tuukka Rask get 40 saves. Yep. And so, like, you really have to find a way to get the pucks in the net, yep, regardless.
Get the traffic in front of him, score when you can, and go to the corners. Score your goal, score goals like Tarasenko can do. Yep. I mean, here's another guy. I'd like to see Jaden Schwartz get on the score sheet tonight. He's been so good throughout the playoffs, but tonight's the kind of night where I need Jaden Schwartz to get me a goal or two.
You feel like the superstars for the Blues. Now, I put Jaden Schwartz in because of his postseason success this year has been unbelievable. I put him in that superstar category. You see a guy like O'Reilly, Shen, Tarasenko, or Schwartz, one of those big-name players, have a big game. Because this is – it's not do or die, but I'm with you. If you go to Boston down 3-1, I mean, it's looking bleak. I mean, you got to have a run of a lifetime. You're asking a team to win 3 games in a row, 2 in Boston. That's a tough task to do in any situation. So you really think this is a must-win game, and you got to have your superstar step up.
Well, Vladdy wasn't great the other night.
But you give him some slack because he's been unbelievable.
And that's my point. Yeah. He has been dynamite prior to that. So you give him – he has the one night off. He knows what's at stake here. He will bring his A game tonight. He gets loose. He probably gets at least one tonight, and that could – you know what? When these teams are as evenly matched as they are – that could be the one thing that's the trump card to get you over for a victory tonight.
That's Jim here. Darren Atkins, the Plowboy, also here. I am Brian Hoff, and we're going to take a short time out. We'll carry things over till about, we're anticipating, 11:35, when Frank Cusimano will be back, at which point we hope Chris Kerber will be joining the remote live at the Enterprise Center to preview what it's not hyperbole to say, the biggest game in Blues history.
Yes.
That is tonight at the Enterprise Center. Puck drop probably 7:15, 7:20-ish or so. We'll be right back. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590TheFan.com.